Welcome to the Brainstorm, episode 94, closing in on 100. Today, Grok 4 and Meta breaking some news with semi-analysis pointing it out. Joseph, why don't you kick us off? Is Grok 4 the best AI in the world?
Well, on benchmarking, it certainly jumps ahead over the last generation. xAI's kind of had this cadence where they have fewer announcements than OpenAI, but when they do announce a new model, it's typically a pretty significant step up. They released Grok 4 last week now, and on benchmarks, it's setting a new frontier on things like GPQA, for example, and they really got creative with some of the methods that they used to train this model, investing way more time and compute into the sort of reinforcement learning stage of the cycle, and introducing tool use pretty early on as well. And that's seeming to reap benefits. There's obviously always a disconnect between on paper benchmarks and real world use. And I think we'll get into that a little bit later on. But this is an encouraging step in the right direction. And it's impressive how they've kind of transformed themselves from a moonshot to a major competitor in this space. And I think that'll continue to be the case as they build out the product and tooling part of the equation moving forward.
Maybe we just start on the benchmarks, right? You said some letters and numbers. Which benchmarks do you think are worth paying attention to? How do they actually test? Maybe we just start there, because as you said, there is a difference between, you know, being the smartest academic in the world and being able to answer useful questions to the average person.
Yeah, that's a fair point. So a couple of the benchmarks that we generally track, one of them just for broad reasoning capability and knowledge is GPQA. This is a Google proof question and answers is what it stands for. And what it tests is graduate level, PhD level scientific reasoning. This is a benchmark that Grok really leapt to the frontier on earlier than a lot of competitors, including even the general release of OpenAI's O3 model. Grok 4 scored 87.5% on that benchmark. That's sort of the no tool use stock version of Grok 4. And by comparison, O3 scored 83.3%. So it's a material 4+ point jump in that category. And those incremental gains get harder and harder the closer you get to 100%. Grok 4 heavy, they're sort of built out, fully capable, in-depth reasoning version of the model, scored 88.9%. And then another interesting benchmark to track here is Humanities Last Exam. The reason I bring this one up particularly is because it shows how much better Grok has gotten at using tools. We think that tool use is going to be a critical part of LLM capability, as they're not just leveraging their own reasoning, but their ability to interact with the world. And what xAI did is they introduced the ability to use tools much earlier on in the training process compared to what's typically done with these models. So they were able to score, let me just double check the number so I'm not misquoting it. This will need to be an edit. I thought I had it right here, but I don't. Sorry, guys, one second. Okay. Grok 4 scored 38.6% on Humanities Last Exam, and that's a 13 percentage point jump compared to what it could do without tools. And then when you compare that to other models like Gemini 2.5 Pro or OpenAI's O3, they're scoring in sort of the mid to high 20% range. And they're when you give them access to tools, they only get like a 3 to 4 point jump there. So they're getting a lot of leverage out of tool use.
Joseph, can you walk us through the vending machine benchmark? I thought that one was pretty fascinating.
Yeah, this is one of the more fun and kind of real world common sense benchmarks that we've seen emerge lately. It's a test from a company called Andon Labs, and it's testing how well these models can run a simulated vending machine company over a period of time. So they allow them to manage pricing, ordering, inventory over a long time horizon. And that long time horizon is really the trick, right? This requires a lot of reasoning skills and ability to remember and keep track of a strategy. And the models have to kind of balance their resources wisely to avoid running out of time or money. And on this benchmark, Grok 3 performed significantly better than the other models that we've seen emerge.
Grok 4.
Sorry. Did I say Grok 3? Okay. Yeah, Grok 4.
It's all happening so fast.
Honestly, Grok 3 was just yesterday. Grok 4 was a pretty big step up on this benchmark. So its net worth at the end of the process was about $4,500. And by comparison, the next best model that this benchmark tracks was Claude 4 Opus, which reached about $2,000. And just to put into perspective, when we think about the real-world usefulness of these models, when they had human beings run this same benchmark, human beings were only able to make around $850. So both models are now outperforming human beings, but Grok has definitely taken the lead. It lasted a lot longer than the competitors and made significantly more money.
Scary. Very scary.
I will caveat, they're not there yet, because this doesn't reflect some real world issues, right? This is a simulation. When Anthropic tried to have Claude run a real vending machine in the real world, got tripped up pretty quickly on some common sense things, started talking about meeting with vendors in person and things like that, and it ran the vending machine into the ground pretty quickly. They're not there in the real world yet, but at least in simulation, they're getting there.
Once they have humanoid bodies to
go to the meeting,
when Optimus is fully rolled out here, we'll have that problem solved.
Yeah,
but on that, that's a good point, right? In the presentation or reveal of Grok 4, Elon noted a number of times, right? It's like the number one test is reality, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, you can do academics, you can do all this, but at the end of the day, it's like, what the hardest benchmark is reality. So you can answer physics questions all day long, but if you can't, you know, walk 3 feet, then how well do you actually know physics? But Nick, I cut you off there. There's another benchmark that I think you wanted to talk about.
I actually want to move away from benchmarks. I think, you know, everything today is very much focused on benchmarks, and, you know, it's obviously a great gauge of performance. But Joseph, you and I were talking earlier this morning. I stumbled upon a tweet that led me to a website called OpenRouter. And I think we've talked about this in the past, and it may have just, you know, escaped my mind, but I was looking at it today, and, you know, in my head, when we hear about these benchmarks and, you know, these performance improvements, I just assume the usage then follows. And I was pretty surprised to see the leaders on this OpenRouter website in terms of token share. And maybe you can do a better job at explaining all of this, the website, the rankings, and how to understand it in the context of open versus close. Because when I look at this, I say, okay, there is a clear difference between performance, or like leading edge performance, and usage. So there is another element here that does help gain developer traction, or maybe I'm just wrong and I'm misunderstanding this. So I'd love for you to just explain this website, this ranking system, and how the audience should understand it.
For sure. So for anyone who's not familiar with OpenRouter, they're a unified API platform that's geared towards mainly developers. It lets them access and experiment with dozens of different large language models. You can think of it as a one-stop shop for developers wanting to test different models and then integrate them into their apps. Because of this business model, they get a lot of insight into which models developers are using in their products. And they publish a tracker, the tracker that Nick's referring to, which shows the number of tokens inferenced by each model on their platform. It's not a complete picture of the market. It emits a lot of the traffic from other APIs, like OpenAI's own API, or the traffic that they get through Azure. And it doesn't track model usage by some of the largest coding apps like Cursor or Replit. But it is still a pretty good gauge of what developers are going to when they actually start building products with these large language models. And what we've seen on OpenRouter is massive adoption of both Claude, Anthropic's Claude models, which is likely due to their coding capabilities, and then also the Gemini models, due to a blend of being fast, competent, and more so than anything else, very, very cheap. If a developer wants a basic task to be handled by generative AI, Gemini is a good place to go for what it appears to be almost free inference on some of their smaller models like Flash. Kind of going back to Grok a little bit and thinking about this disconnect between performance and real world use, so much of this has to do with one I already mentioned, which is cost, and then also the amount of tooling built around the model and the specialization of that model for real world tasks like coding, which is probably one of the reasons that Grok is rolling out a coding model soon. They're likely seeing exactly the data that you're talking about and realizing that if they want developers to start using this model and actually baking it into their products, they need to either excel on the coding front to compete with what Anthropic's doing, or they need a fast, cheap solution that's more than good enough for most tasks, which is what Gemini is on that platform right now.
Yeah, and it's interesting to look at the market share over time. I'm looking at, and we'll put this up, and so hopefully people can see if you're watching the YouTube, and we'll talk through it if you're listening. But if you look at, and I'll just point out Google, because I think they've gained the most share since this started, and that goes back to July 14th, 2024. So this is probably just a one-year chart. But if you look at where Google was, they weren't even on the map a year ago. And now they have around 38.2% of share. The second is DeepSeek at 25, Anthropic at 17.5, OpenAI at 4.6, which to your point, Joseph, right, probably a lot more going directly to OpenAI's own API. Meta at number 5 with 3.5% share. Then you have Mistral at 3.4. Other categories, so this must be a grouping of a number of different models at 2.6. And then you have XAI at 2.1. And to round out the top 10, you have Moonshot AI at 1.6 and then Qwen at 1.6 as well. So pretty, interesting breakdown. I don't know that if you had asked me to guess that this would be, what developers were using, but I find it pretty helpful in understanding the context and how, we at Arc always talk about follow the developers. And this is really where developers are spending their time building. So Google at 1, it's very interesting to me. DeepSeek at number 2, very interesting, right?
But that's... Nick, to your point, it is, I think what's also interesting is it's like, no one's has stability, right? It's like, it's still so much experimentation. It's like you come out with something good and everyone flocks or tests it out and sees what's working.
Yeah, and then you can, if people have time to spend on the website, you can see like Grok 4 has jumped up in the token usage in the last week is, people are experimenting with it. And now the question is, does this hold, right? Obviously, if you were to say, look at Grok 3, maybe the market share didn't hold after all of the hype. But, this is, I find this to be pretty helpful in contextualizing the dynamics at play.
I think Grok 4 kind of makes sense that it's in the position that it's in right now. People are experimenting with it, but it's still a relatively expensive reasoning model, right? It's actually, we did mention it earlier, but it's a lot cheaper than, some of the largest offerings like O3 Pro. But it's still a relatively expensive option and high power. So it kind of makes sense that it's not being used for a lot of regular use cases that you're going to be running a lot, especially when there are good enough options from Google or coding specific options from Anthropic. I think the one that's kind of scarier on that chart for me anyway is Meta. You would think with the wide scale releases that they've had in the past of Llama 3 and the like, it's you'd expect them to be much higher up, even if this isn't capturing a lot of the open source self-hosted use.
Use that as a good segue here, because it's like, how did Grok do it? One, a lot of effort from a lot of people, but it seems like really they trusted the scaling laws, right? They went bigger, they went more power, more data, more compute, and that's magic. And then today, Nick, you want to dive into the meta news?
Well, I think it's today and over the past few weeks, you've obviously seen, if you're following the space, Mark Zuckerberg and Meta make some very aggressive acquisitions and moves. They're acquiring or 49% stake in Scale AI, and then also have gone out and made offers that range anywhere from $100 to $300 million for specific individuals that they think are very important to what they're now calling their new super intelligence team.
Yeah, we're really honored to have Nick here after he turned down $100 million offer. So,
yeah. That's how much I love doing this show with you, Sam. Unless we bring the brainstorm, then there's just no. These numbers in the context, and it's funny that we're talking about it now because I think we missed a week because of the fourth. But this has been happening for the last 2 weeks, and we internally at ARK have been talking about the. What is going on? You're seeing these numbers fly around 100, 200, 300. And then you put it into context and you think, okay, one, you look at our own internal forecasts for ARK, right? We're projecting this market to be trillions of dollars in size. And then you say, okay, what is Meta doing here? Well, they're acquiring Scale. What is it? A $14 billion stake, Joseph?
Just under 15.
Yeah, just under 15. So there's 15 billion. And then you've acquired, I think it's a dozen plus, so maybe we're at 20 people. Let's ballpark it at 200 million a person. So there's another four billion over some period of time. That's $19 billion, call it. And that's what, and I thought that number in my head originally was, out of this world. And then I look back at the history of Meta and I looked at the WhatsApp acquisition, and that was in 2014, and they acquired it for $19 billion. So where are they today? They've spent $19 billion in the last 3 weeks acquiring, and they also just acquired Play.ai, which is a Gen AI audio platform. But you're seeing them spend very aggressively, but I think the opportunity this time makes significantly more sense if you were to rewind the clock. Investors may be seeing signs of repetition in Zuckerberg going after the metaverse opportunity and spending significant amount of money on that. Now, I think when you look at Gen AI, the numbers make more sense. But then you have them come out today,
as if
$19 billion wasn't enough. Now we're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars. Joseph, you brought it up earlier when we were speaking. SemiAnalysis, they wrote a report talking about some of the dynamics at play internally at Meta, what went wrong, why they're making these decisions, and how they're trying to right the ship. And then I think getting ahead of that story and having their own voice out there, Zuckerberg. On Threads is talking about, look, we're building multiple gigawatt clusters. The scale and size of these are as large as Manhattan. We'll try to put up a screenshot here to show you because I think it's staggering. They're doing all of this at the same time that they're acquiring this talent. So you can very clearly see this is not a game anymore. I think this is do or die for them. I think they're viewing it as that, saying if we're not at the leading edge of this, we're going to have trouble down the road. And that became very apparent for me when I was looking at these Open Router figures, because we've talked in the past, when Llama first came out, and their whole ethos and objective was open source. They wanted to be the open source developer community's favorite model. And that clearly isn't playing out if they're only at 3.5% share and Google's been dominating, Anthropic, DeepSeek, OpenAI, right? All of these other models are being used more than developers, and Meta has fallen by the wayside. So it's a very interesting time. I don't know that you could ask more of Meta and Zuckerberg at this moment. I think they've shown that they're very much willing to get this on the right track. But to see some of these figures being thrown out, it could scare some people away. and saying, oh my God, are we replaying the metaverse? Is this, you know, is this all going to work out for them? Do they even have the capability to catch up if these other models are, you know, leapfrogging them? So a lot going on, a lot going on. And that's just the last week of AI news. And then you have the windsurf, which we didn't even talk about, and we probably don't even have time. But
yeah, I mean, I do think it's interesting, but not new, right? It's like same with AI, the scaling up. You had Sam Altman talking about the crazy, what was it? He wanted to raise like $1 trillion or something. And it's like, okay, compute was the original. We're going to spend endless amounts of money because the return is theoretically there. People falling in to that. I think the difference between the spending on infrastructure versus on people is infrastructure doesn't get warped by money in the same way.
Yeah.
Right. It's like if you give a, you know, $100 million to an infrastructure project, the infrastructure project doesn't retire and go on vacation. Right. So it's like, I think that's the interesting thing, and still unclear how that will actually play out.
Yeah. This is like putting a team of, you know, the world's highest paid athletes together and hoping they all get along and, you know, there's, you know, a culture match across the board, which I think is asking a lot, especially, you know,
Team USA basketball, baby.
I will say, and so this is maybe the last point I have in thinking about, you know, where do we go from here, right? Because it seems like every week it's just a new, bigger number, a larger cluster, and you're seeing this play out. One, it is massively consolidating the space in terms of the number of players that can actually build out these facilities. You know, if you're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars, there's not a lot of companies that have, one, the ability to raise that type of capital, or have the capital coming from a different part of their business. And I think if I'm looking at what Zuckerberg is saying, I do think there is something in his post, because his first thread and post in this this series is the end sentences, we have the capital from our business to do this. How many other companies? I mean, you have Google that could say it, Amazon, if they wanted to start playing in this space, which doesn't seem like we're hearing much.
And Apple then say it.
Apple is,
listen,
Apple has it on their balance sheet. They don't even need it from their business, but you know, they don't seem like they want to do anything yet. And then you have the private players who have to raise the capital because their current business, whether through subscriptions or API fees, doesn't actually meet the needs of the scaling of capital needed to build out, you know, these facilities. So I don't know what we're going to be hearing in 6 months, but it's trillions of dollars at, you know, end state. I guess Sam Altman's already saying that. So yeah,
it's the big time. All right, Joseph, your forecast, you and Frank have been doing this. Does Grok change anything in line with the acceleration expected from AI models? Where do we sit, and what does it look like going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is in line. This is sort of the performance gains that we're expecting if this is going to be something that's deeply integrated into enterprise in our daily lives. And I think we're going to continue to see declines on the cost side of things as well. You know, one thing that happened earlier this year is we saw O3 I think it declined at a 98% annualized rate. And so not only are these models becoming more capable, but we expect them to continue to be cheaper and more cost effective. And as a result of that, really get integrated into what we do. And to Nick's point, right, if you look at that open router data, it's the cheaper models and the more efficient models that are really seeing the most usage. So when these reasoning models start to dip down into that price range, I think we're going to start to see that kind of uptake there as well. And then on the implications for infrastructure, We think that's going to be a multi-trillion dollar market by 2030, in line with a lot of what we're seeing in terms of this build out. As Nick noted, there are very few companies that can do that, but all of the companies that are capable are currently working on these massive hundreds of thousands of GPU data centers right now. They're following that same playbook that we've seen from XAI and others to just scale up as quickly as possible and to as large a scale as possible to try to stay competitive. So we think that's going to continue.
And then maybe we don't need to go down this rabbit hole, but there are some interesting things from Thiel's interview a couple weeks ago, but along the lines of, okay, everyone now has infinite information. It's like, does that matter? Or do most people's jobs not actually require infinite information? It's like putting someone 10x smarter in the role doesn't yield any result or yields a different result, I think is interesting.
It's like, well, I think there's a piece of the puzzle missing from that, right? Because it's not just giving more information, but it's the ability to take action as well. And so I think this is where productization and tool use really starts to come back into the front of people's minds, right? It's not just how much information these models can give you, but the transformation from just a chat bot that can answer questions to something that can actually start taking action on your behalf. And I think that's where we start to see the accelerated use, is it's not just somebody who's 10 times smarter, but it's also somebody who's capable of working at the same time as you in the background and can 10x your productivity just with the amount of hours spent per person per day.
Joseph, I think that's a great point. It's like, forget 10 times smarter. Just give me someone who's 2 times more accountable. Or
right. Just give me 10
2x higher competent agency.
Interviews. Just right. Give me like 10, interns. Just give me like 10 interns and let me.
Yeah, but interns are never accountable.
Okay, give me 10 very accountable interns.
I'd
rather that than some
10 new hires trying to prove themselves that exactly. They should be the agent that doesn't get deleted from your computer.
Exactly.
All right. Any last comments, Nick?
No, my brain breaks when we start talking about these large figures and the size of these data centers and how fast the space is moving. It's hard to keep up. It's even harder to really understand, one, who's going to win, two, you know, how it all plays out, how fast we're out of jobs. You know, it's going to happen. I've went from full disbeliever to full believer. And I think it happened in the last, like,
call. Was it VO3?
It may have been. It may have been. VO3. It may have been VO3. It was probably Cursor for the first time. Like, once you start playing around with these tools and you realize the capability and what you can, you know, then do with it, I just get worried that, you know, once you don't even need a human prompting these models and they're just out there running on their own, or maybe they're prompting each other. That's when I start to get scared for us.
Maybe for the 200th episode of Brainstorm, all three of us will be generated by VO5, VO6.
I don't even think it took us, we're almost at 100 shows. It's been, 2 years?
2 years.
So I don't think we even make it to 150 before we're completely out of the loop.
All right, there you go. Put it on Polymarket. We'll see what happens. All right. See everyone next week.
See everyone next week. Or not. Maybe we're replaced by next week. Who knows? It's all happening so fast.
ARK Investment Management LLC is an SEC registered investment advisor. ARK and Public are unaffiliated entities and do not have a relationship with respect to either firm marketing or selling the products or services of the other. And therefore, ARK disclaims responsibility for any loss that may be incurred by Public's clients or customers. The information provided in this show is for informational purposes only and should not be used as the basis for any investment decision and is subject to change without notice. It does not constitute either explicitly or implicitly any provision of services or products by ARK, and investors should determine for themselves whether a particular investment management service is suitable for their investment needs. All statements made regarding companies or securities are strictly beliefs and points of view held by ARK and/or show guests and are not endorsements by ARK of any company or security or recommendations by ARK to buy, sell, or hold any security. Historical results are not indications of future results. Certain of the statements contained in the show may be statements of future expectations and other forward-looking statements that are based on ARK's current views and assumptions and involve known and unknown risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results, performance, or events to differ materially from those expressed or implied in such statements. ARK assumes no obligation to update any forward-looking information. ARK and its clients, as well as its related persons, may, but do not necessarily, have financial interests in securities or issuers that are discussed. Certain information was obtained from sources that ARK believes to be reliable. However, ARK does not guarantee the accuracy or completeness of any information obtained from any third party.